Dude, I have to tell you the craziest story. So I literally got an email from one of my clients just now, and they're like, "This work is unacceptable. This is horrible." And I'm like, "What do you mean?" They're like, you didn't do anything of the things I asked." I'm like, "Okay, well, I reviewed the quote," and we gave them not only what they asked, but even a little extra. Like, they wanted a tour, a drone video, and like 15 stills. And we ended up giving them like 30, because for MLS, you need like 30, right? So he was pissed. I'm not like really worried about it, but I was like, "Dude, we gave you like everything you wanted and more, like in the kitchen sink. Like, the fuck's wrong with you?"
Damn.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Irritable. Some people, when you like, I've had clients, so you don't, I mean, you kind of have an idea of how my job works. I know it's so confusing because no one understands it, but out of anyone, you probably know the most. Needless to say, I had this one client. She was an Asian lady, and she was so cool and so nice to me in the beginning. And then, like 3 days into the loan, she calls me back, and I'm like, "Oh, Miss Vang, how are you? How's the loan?" And she's like, "I like to pay off my loan now." And I'm like, "What do you mean? Wait, are we recording, by the way?"
Yeah, we're on. We're live.
"No, we're live."
Yeah.
Oh,
It's fine. Don't worry. Yeah, continue.
all right, so needless to say, she calls me back. She's like, "Oh, I'd like to pay my loan off now." And the way our loans work, you should pay the full loan. Pay the full loan, or else you're responsible for, like, you got a $20,000 loan. She was paying back 28 grand. She would have to pay back 25 grand in one day. Like, no one can do that, let alone the daily payment she had.
Yeah,
Anyways,
it's ridiculous.
cursing me the fuck out. She's like, "Oh, you lied, you lied, you lied to me. I need it for my business. You said I could pay it off whenever I want. You lied to me. You did this, you did that." And I'm in my head, I'm like, "There's no way I lied to this bitch. Like, she's definitely just taking me for a ride." And she's cursing at me. Her son in the background's calling me like a useless asshole. And I'm at a loss for words. It was probably my first sale, and like the one that I closed myself, start to finish. And I'm like, I blew it. So I pretty much tell her, like, I bitch slapped the girl. I'm like, "Look, like, here's what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna talk to my boss and try to get this figured out. But I know in my heart of hearts that I didn't lie to you, because that's not who I am. I have ethics, I have morals, I would never do that to you. And let me get back to my job and do what I have to do." And then from there, I blocked her number. I'm like, "Well, we'll see what happens."
See you later.
Yeah.
Dude, I have a crazy experience where I believe I was still a sales intern for Momentum. I wasn't even like a manager yet. And we did this like 2 summers ago where we would go to like all these neighborhoods, get some flyers, hand them out, right? So it was me, this kid, Nico Dennis. Shout out Nico. He's like a really cool, good kid. He goes to Temple right now. And I was actually like, mentoring under him. Or he was mentoring under me, rather. And we were like going street to street. So he would go one street, I would go the other. We would just go, straight. And
Yeah.
we were going on like Germantown Ave. So you would know what street this is, like in Chestnut Hill, because I took you there like before. Like, we just like drove past it. It's a pretty nice area. So I stumble upon this Asian restaurant called Sin Sin, right? And this guy, this owner, Michael, I guess Michael Sin, whatever. He was like 90, right? And he's like working. I'm like, "Oh my God, like, I don't know what it is, but like Japanese people, do they live so fucking long? It's just like in their culture. Like, I don't know." But
Parm and I were talking about that this morning.
dude, me and Parm were talking about that too. I'm like, it's green tea, it's working, although
I thought you meant Jewish American princesses. I'm like, yeah, those fucks are alive forever.
yeah, they're horrible, right? Dude, so I stumble into the restaurant and I tell Mike, I'm like, "Hey man, like, here's our thing, $300 for the tour." And he's like, "Oh, come back later on. We'll sit and have lunch." I'm like, "Okay, perfect. Like, it's fucking great. Like, even if I don't get a tour, I'm still getting a free lunch out of it." You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I go back. It's like 2 o'clock, right? And I go in there a little bit early, and he's like, "All right, Michael can see you now." I'm like, "All right, cool." So we sit down and we're just like, eating, shooting the breeze, being casual, right? Very cordial.
Breeze.
And he comes to me and he says, he's like, "So when are you gonna stop jerking me off?" I was drinking water just like you are, right? And I spit it out. I almost like spit it in his face. I was like laughing. I'm like, "What? What are you talking about? Like jerking you off?" He's like, "Yo, you work for Google, right?" I'm like, no, dude, I don't work for Google. We're partnered with Google." He's like, "These motherfuckers call me every day, and I have to hang up." I'm like, no, that's not us. Like, we're a separate company. Like, this is totally just a virtual tour. We're partnering with Google. You're going to get some SEO and that's it. It's not going to be anything crazy. And he was like, he was just bound. He thought that I was lying to him. He thought that like I was a secretly a Google representative. I don't know. It was weird. So whenever I would ask him a question about like pricing or the features he wanted, here's exactly what he would do. He would just look at my flyer and go, just like that, like Bill Cosby, like, you know what I mean?
Just like Bill Cosby. Prices are outrageous.
Yeah. So I didn't know what he was doing. If he was like having a stroke, I mean, the guy, he was like at least 90. And I was so bombarded with just like, he wasn't asking any questions. He was just like, but he wouldn't say anything. So I had to keep the conversation going. Like, that's how he would respond. Like, I'd be like, all right, like Mike, like, what do you think about like, you know, the, you're going to be posting it on your website. Like, what do you think about that? He's like, I'm like, what the fuck? Like, I can't make any sense out of this. So, yeah. So, I'm like, okay, thanks. Appreciate your time. I have to go. I'll call you in a week. And he's like, okay, fine. So I call him in a week and this fucking guy, he's like, I'm no longer interested. I'm like, what? I'm like, you accepted the quote. Like, we're going to shoot this like next week. He's like, no, I don't want to do it. I'm like, what? So I started getting pissed off because this was like one of my first sales, right? Like 2 years ago. And he was like, no, I don't want to do it. Like the price is too high. I'm like, okay, like we can work on the price. How's like, you know, 50% off? Cause I really want to shoot your business. Like this is a prominent restaurant in Chestnut Hill. And he's like, no, I just don't want to do it. He's like, you're with Google. I'm like, dude, I'm not with fucking Google. All right. Just stop saying that. I'm with it's Momentum. We're partnered with Google. We're not Google. Cause he thought like, again, he thought like we were just giving him a bunch of calls. I guess he received a bunch of calls right after our lunch. So okay. He was just, I guess, annoyed and he couldn't make the connection. He was an old fart. Who gives a fuck?
Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, that just sounds like sales mishap.
Yeah. Okay. So I didn't get the deal. I was so frustrated, dude. I was so pissed off.
That's happened to me far too many times. You know, with like, so in my lifetime of working where I am, I've gotten two approvals, I've gotten three approvals, one for the same client. Two for the same plan. I've gotten three approvals over 500K in my life. All of them have blown up in my face.
Yo, can you hear the fan, by the way? Can you hear this?
No.
Okay, perfect.
All of them have blown up in my face. I've had a 500K approval where I would have made 30 grand on it. I had a 650, I would have made 40 grand on it, and so on and so forth. The money, the earning potential was there. But what had happened was, you know, once I got these approvals, my boss was like, let me help you with this. Let me just help the team on this. You'll still get paid, whatever. Watching my boss do the sales aspect of it, he was actually working underneath Jordan Belfort at Stratton Oakmont. Him and his brother.
No way.
Yeah, no, him and his brother. And then they went on and started their own company. So seeing my boss speak to this business owner who was doing $5 million to $10 million per month looked like a surgeon. He was super methodical, and what he pretty much did was, so like with any loan that is sold through my company, there's something called stipulations, which if you go to a bank, it's like you need to provide tax returns, your license, your social security, like stuff like that, just to confirm your identity, make sure you're on the up and up, everything you say checks out. Same thing in my industry, except this time, you know, it was so much money, there was like 2 years worth of tax returns, a year's worth of credit card statements and business statements. And all this other shit. So what my boss did was, every time he was talking to this person, every time he had a new conversation, which was every day, he had the assistant send him new stips and new stips and new stips. So when he got to the end of the road, he just needed to sign the contract. So we got to that point. One, I remember my assistant was trying to close out the contract and they were signing for like 20 minutes. I was hyped as shit. I was about to make 30 racks. I was going to cream my pants.
That's ridiculous money. Yeah.
I would have creamed my pants straight up. A 21-year-old making 30 racks in an hour. Like, come on now. And he calls me up. He's like, you know, Michael, I appreciate you and your boss and your underwriter for all your help, but I'm going to hold off till next month. And then that's when I knew. I'm like, oh my God.
Your heart just sank after that.
My heart sank, dude. I was so distraught.
No, wait. So your boss worked under like Jordan Belfort? You never told me
my boss. Yeah. So in my company, there's two owners, and I believe both of them worked under Jordan Belfort for a little bit at Stratton Oakmont. We had one guy that worked with us. So like at where I work, You could be 60 years old. If you have heart and ambition, we'll take you. Or you could be 16. Again, if you have heart and ambition, we'll take you. So like, there's a huge range of age of people that work there. So like, this one guy, Phil, worked for us, and he worked with our boss. And I talked to him. I'm like, yo, so like, was our boss like really like who he is? Even he was like, dude, the guy was a savage at Stratton. And I'm like, he said it like a frat guy. I'm like, he called it Stratton like it was like, you know, like it's like when you know Bill Cosby and be like, yeah, I was with Bill last night. That kind of shit.
Like on a first name basis, right?
Yeah, right. It was like, all right, this guy's on the up and up. But then it made me think about that guy, Phil, who was talking so much hype about my boss, and because he sucked. The guy was 60 years old, funded nothing, and he thought he was the hot chick because he worked at Stratton, but he didn't have a pot to piss in. But needless to say, yeah, both of my bosses, I 100% confirmed that one of them did. I'm pretty sure both of them did, but I know one of them for sure. And I spoke to one of them about it. The movie's partially accurate. I mean, it's accurate, trust me, with the concepts that we could all, you know, think of in our head. But right. Some of it was embellished for a movie, which, you know, you can't blame.
So like, what stories did he tell you about your boss? Like, cause dude, Jordan Belfort has the Straight Line program, which is one of the best sales systems in the entire world. So they probably learned that for free. Before it was called the Straight Line.
I mean, yeah. So like, I'm sure that my boss has all the sales tactics and everything. And what he decided to use with that information is totally his choice and his doing. I just don't know my boss all that well. I'm the kind of person as I get older, like I care less and less about other people. And I mean that in the best way possible. I care less and less about what other people do. Like for instance, like if you were to tell me like, hey, you know what? I'm going to move to Kentucky and raise horses. I would have said like, hey, if that really makes you happy, dude, go ahead.
Do it. Yeah. Okay. 100%.
Yeah. So like I try to stay out of people's business cause I don't like people in my business. It pisses me off. Needless to say, like pretty much the bulk of what I heard about Stratton Oakmont, and this is just from some old heads at my office, is that like, you know, there would be every once in a while where like they'd go out and party till like 5 a.m. in the city, any bottle service, the works, and like, you know, they're all wearing at the time the Richard Mille watches, so like, or the equivalent of it, so like, you know that they're getting some crazy Don Julio bottle service.
Yeah, so, I'm thinking like, because we never went to One Oak ever, which is like just one of the most prominent New York City clubs, but. Dude, could you imagine your – so, like, they didn't get any jail time then.
What do you mean? For what?
Well, for, you know, like, you know how Belford was indicted in the movie and then his accomplices were, you know, they were given time too. So they didn't go to prison.
Well, no, I think what it was in the movie, didn't he pay his bail and then he was pretty much broke and he was just on house arrest?
No.
Jonah Hill came up to him. He was like, yo, I got you. Like, I got money. You remember that towards the end? He was sitting by his pool.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, I think that was a separate thing before he went away, like, permanent. No. You're right. But
he went away. Also, what about the agreement, too? He made an agreement that any kind of money he makes, he's still the negative net worth.
Well, yeah, exactly. But he would still have to go. I still believe he went. Let me check this. I'm pretty sure he went away for prison for like 2 years. So
I think he went away to prison for a little bit. If not, it was like a certain amount of time.
It wasn't even prison though, dude. It was like, exactly in the movie. Like I read up on the exact prison he went to. It's not too far off where my dad is right now. He has like tennis courts, the whole nine yards. Like he was living in luxury still.
Yeah, it's a white collar prison. That's where the Sopranos were. You know, if you got money, you run shit.
Exactly. So dude, could you imagine like you work with Jordan Belfort. You don't get indicted. You don't get in any trouble whatsoever. Maybe like you have to pay a couple people off just to like, you know, keep it hush and delete some files or burn some shit. But you're learning all of that knowledge for free for the most part. And you could say you worked with, you know, one of the best salespeople of all time. I mean, that's just crazy to me.
I mean, the cool part about it, I feel, is that, exactly like you said, like you're getting all that free like knowledge that at the time you probably didn't know how valuable it was. But like that's the kind of program you could really take anywhere, because sales is really black and white. It's just a matter of learning the industry. It's all really relative. The other thing is too, is that what I heard, like, from multiple sources about Stratton Oakmont is that, like I was just saying before, like, they would go out clubbing until like 5 a.m. at One Oak and like Marquee, like, right. Or this, keep in mind, this was like the 70s and 80s. So whatever was the equivalent of One Oak and Marquee, and they would be out till like 5 a.m. And if you weren't in your seat at 7 in the morning, or whatever it was at 9 a.m., you didn't have a job for that day, and you got cursed the fuck out.
Yeah.
Like, you want to party with the big boys, you're going to be in at work at the same time as the big boys. That's how they believed it. So, like, they love to party and have fun, but they like to work. So they
could party
and have fun just as much, even more.
Dude, there's a banging book right here, and I'll put it on the screen. It's called The Challenger Sale. You read this yet?
I have not. I've been taking some time away from reading books solely because of my amount of marijuana I've been smoking. beyond that, I have no other excuse. I'm smoking like 3 joints a day, but whatever.
Hey, it's part of the gig, right? Dude, you know what I found? So, and I was talking to Liam about this yesterday. I was like, you know, books are kind of deceiving because, yeah, you get some good knowledge and, yeah, you can, you know, then use that knowledge. But not everyone utilizes a book the same. Like, some person will read a book, you know, front to cover and, you know, think, okay, this is, you know, good and everything. But they won't really genuinely understand the concepts. And then someone else who is like a highlighter is going to like look in like with a magnifying glass and find detail. And is going to use every single bit of these strategies so they can actually use like the working knowledge. It's just different. I mean, you either use the knowledge or you don't. Like, that's why I try. Like, I have a highlighter and I have a pen right here. So I use this every single time I go through a book. So I can kind of see, okay, what am I looking at? Is this going to help me? Is this, you know, even legitimate? Like, who did it help other than this guy? Because, you know, like, there could always be like one lucky strategy, you know, like a broken, there's a saying, a broken clock is right twice a day, you know, like, so it might be right for some, but not for others.
I
can't wait to, like, dude, I was like, we're going to play golf this Saturday, which I can't fucking wait. It's going to be like, because I haven't seen
the range a lot. Forever,
dude. Yeah. I haven't seen you in a minute. Dude. It's been way too long, but,
So actually, hold on. Before you go any further, I want to talk about what you were just talking about with the books, right?
Yeah, I got it. So,
I mean, look, let's dive into this a little bit, right? Like, do you remember in school where, like, let's say you were in, like, you were freshman in high school, right? And you went to algebra and you were a rock star in algebra for no particular reason, you know? Yeah. And then you go to bio class, you're good in bio, but then you go to English and you're like, oh, fuck, like, yeah, fuck this teacher,
yeah,
fuck exactly. This, I want to, when's lunch, when's gym, when do I get to see that big booty in art class, that kind of shit.
Yeah, right.
And what I've found with that, it was like, when I got to college, after I took my SAT prep, I was a whiz in English, I didn't give a fuck about science anymore, because I knew I wasn't going to be a doctor, because I thought that was a waste of time, still do, sorry to whoever's a doctor.
Yeah, any farm.
But anyways, I realized that it's not so much the subject it has a lot to do with the interest at heart, but I'm also, I kind of feel like it's like who you are being taught from. Like, for instance, when my mom tells me something, goes in one ear and out the other. When when most girls say something to me, goes in one ear out the other. But if it's something that's like, if it's from someone else that I really care about, that I really love, then, or something that I'm just really interested in, then I absorb it all. And I feel like that's the same with books. Like, with books, like, you're not supposed to know everything about the book. You're not supposed to pick up on every fine little mantra or metaphor or anything like that. Books are meant to be read again and again and again because of perception. My perception's changed 180 degrees in 6 months.
It's always changing, yeah.
Yeah. And, I mean, the way I see books, it's like I'm reading this book right now. It's right here. Actually, no, it's in my car. I used it as a rolling paper. But what's one book that I really love? Hold on one second.
Oh, dude, you're wearing that UFC shirt? I didn't even notice that. That's tough.
Yeah, It's my favorite shirt. The Go Giver. This is a great fucking book. I told you to read it.
Yep.
Yeah. The Go Giver is a great book. I've read this book 7 times. That's an exaggeration. Probably like 2. And in both times reading it, I've gotten multiple different things from it. But it's this book, to sum up for anyone, if anyone's actually going to end up watching this podcast of me, it is pretty much a book that is just like, get the fuck up and go do it. It's like, forget all that, like, I don't know if it's going to work. I don't know. It's like, no, fuck that. Get up and go do it.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the biggest thing is action, because you could read the best strategies. You could read the winning solution, quote unquote, but unless you actually go and do it, then it's not going to fucking matter. And that's why I get so discouraged, like with some of my sales reps, that they come to me and they're like, hey, Sean, like, you know, we haven't been seeing a lot of results. And I'm like, okay, like, well, what's your effort been? And like, well, you know, we're getting like, you know, 10, 15 forms in a day, which means they're contacting 10 or 15 people. So I'm like, listen, dude, I want you to go through all those, because I like to use it. I always say this. I like to use a sniper approach rather than a shotgun approach when it comes to sales. So what I mean by that is, before my reps, including me, make a call, I get all the information that I can on a specific realtor or group. So let's say I'm contacting Julie Smith, right? I go on Julie Smith's Facebook, LinkedIn, Instagram, learn everything about her. Oh, she went to Penn State too? Awesome. That's a bullet I can use. Oh, she knows this other girl too, who I used to bang, but we're not going to talk about. Another bullet in my chamber. Oh, we know, you know, Mike Mercogliano. Cool. Another bullet in my chamber. So now when I come to the table, I'm locked and loaded, and I got 3 solid bullets that I could hit her with. And it's going to be, it's a comfortability thing. Like, you know, more than anybody, dude, like, you don't give features for a product. You build the relationship and you challenge their whole belief. That's what this book is about. The challenger sale is, you want to educate them and broaden their horizon. Like, you don't want to do it in a disparaging manner, but you want to do it in a place where they feel comfortable learning from you. And obviously making sure that, you know, your process is just easy to buy from in general. So,
yeah,
you know, it's definitely fascinating for sure.
I mean, I think what you're doing at Momentum is really phenomenal. I mean, just based off of the results of where the company's gone, I think that Max has a tremendous devotion towards you and loyalty. And if he doesn't, he should. And I'm saying that publicly. So with all things being considered, I mean, yeah, like, you have, I like that sales tactic. But the other thing is too, it's like, that's been around forever. And like, what that simply is, it's Jones effects. First off, and I learned that from the company I used to work for, Power Home Remodeling. They were saying like, oh yeah, we just finished your neighbor's roof. Going to be giving some free estimates to some of your other neighbors for the rest of the day. Why don't you take one? They say no. Well, it's like, well, you're probably gonna have the lowest property value if you don't, kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Or stuff like that. So like, what I do at my job is like, when I have sales and I have to go through, you know, like an introductory call, I kind of, you know, look to get to know the people. I've always done that with sales, is look to get to know people, because in my history, that's what sells, is when I'm able to sell myself, I can sell myself to anybody. Even someone that really, really hates me, like one of those girls I fucked over at Penn State, I could sell myself to you again. You'd love me again. Guarantee that. But I say that with confidence because I do it so many times with these people over the phone. They don't even know me. They don't even know what I look like. And I think that's my moneymaker, except for my nose. Everything else, though, I mean, you know, it's just having the charisma, having the swagger to be able to sell yourself. And the biggest part about that is when they open their mouth, you shut up and listen.
Yeah.
And you don't,
everyone likes to have, you know, themselves heard. And dude, that's, you hit the nail on the head. I mean, getting to know them is the biggest thing. Like, and following up too, like what we do, and thanks for the, you know, compliment, by the way, I appreciate that. Dude, we always have a, like for a first time project with someone, you know what we do? I make sure that the owner of that real estate group or the realtor, whatever, like the main broker, is always there, and I shoot it. So they see my face. Even though I'm the owner, it shows them I'm not afraid to get my hands dirty. And then I bring them like some donuts to them, like, say, hey, you know, what do you like to eat? Like, what are some treats? You know, what are some like good desserts? And I'll bring them like a cupcake or, you know, whatever, right? Just kind of like build that relationship. And
I mean, look, I agree with that. Like, I understand like your approach to what you're doing, but I mean, I don't even take it that far. Like, what I do, and it's free, it's organic.
The business.
What?
I said it's once you already like get the business and it's going to be reoccurring.
Yeah. You definitely want to be relevant to these people. So in my industry, in the merchant cash advance industry, you know, there's so many, it's all phone sales. So all like the voices are all this sound the same. So, you know, how does Mike Merck separate himself from, you know, Sean Boyle? Find a commonality. Let's say Sean Boyle Trucking is a trucking business. One of my go-to lines is always, you know, my uncle, and this is true, you know, oh, my uncle was a truck driver for White Rose back when I was growing up. Like I never saw him around the holidays, but you know, his kids were fed, his kids had clothes on their back, like, and I appreciate you for that. So like, if you could just find a commonality in that, in trucking, because think about it, like with a truck driver, they're out on the road all day. And one thing I'll piggyback after I say this is that, like, I think girls have the upper hand in men in today's day and age with sales, especially phone sales, because like, if you think about like a truck driver that's driving on the road, hasn't seen anything as far as a woman for a long time, and he's probably in Arkansas seeing some homely looking women, he gets a call from a beautiful broad in New York, he's gonna listen to you and he's gonna do whatever you want just to get it done. My assistants, God bless both of them, they have beautiful voices. Like they know how to hone in on their craft when they need to, and they do it excellently time and time again, because they know what's at stake, they know what they need to do to get the job done, and they do it. But I want to go back to the thing about listening, because I think that's a very important thing to speak about. Like as far as listening goes, when you're doing sales, you don't want to be listening and just thinking about the next thing you want to say, which you as the host of this podcast is exactly what you're doing. What people should do in sales is they should, or like genuinely listen the same way you want to be listened. Dissect and speak about a topic that the person you're listening to brought up organically, just as if you would listen to someone ordinarily, because people know when you're not listening to them, essentially is what I wanted to say, which is why I think women are going to be far superior than men in sales and in life. Like a female president, a female executive, like think like shit like that. Like females are gonna rule the roost. They rule the houses. Like they could rule the roost. Like Melinda Gates. Melinda Gates is a savage. Bill Gates is amazing. Bill Gates is Bill Gates. The Gates is because of him. But Melinda keeps him in check every day, and I feel like that should be talked about just as much as everything else.
Absolutely, yeah. It's Melinda to Bill, or it's Hillary to Bill. Or it's
Hillary's better than Bill. I don't like Hillary. I think Bill Clinton's funny as shit. You know, hey, I just knocked up some girl, gonna be back in the White House, knocking up another girl, kind of thing. Dude, I think he's the best.
Yeah,
but I like Hillary more. Hillary is more of a badass. Hillary hasn't been president, but Hillary never gave up to be president. She still isn't giving up to be president.
Yeah, I mean. Yeah, Hillary's all right. I like Hillary. Bill, you know what I was doing? Yesterday I was looking at like the top 20 presidents of the United States.
Yeah.
Guess who was number one's kind of obvious, but like guess. And it's not like, I guess it's not too obvious, but like.
Obama.
No, number one. No.
Oh, I would have said Obama's number one.
No, it goes, it's like Abraham Lincoln. Obviously, like, you know, did so much public speaking, free the slaves,
yeah,
civil peace. Then it's like George Washington through, like, which I don't necessarily agree with, but dude, you know who I was looking at is Ronald Reagan. Ronald Reagan, I have so much admiration for, because he's just, first of all, the, you know, the tax reforms that he enacted were probably some of the most potent things that he did in his presidency, and he helped a lot of people. You know, he helped a lot of small businesses out. That's why I wish we had someone like, I mean, Donald's doing an okay job with like monitoring everything, but I really wish that they set in place something more, because you look, dude, how long have we been in quarantine for? Months, right? But they're only sending stimulus checks out for what, like 1 month or two, or it's not going to be enough. So I know there's going to be a whole bill that's enacted, but that's why I appreciate companies like Facebook or, you know, like all these big tech giants that are giving out all these grants. You know, it's so funny because we're in such a good place right now that we are, you know, in the red, or I'm sorry, we're in the black. So we don't need anything really. Like the businesses that qualify are going to be in the red for the most part, but We applied for like, I think $5,000, and we were like, nah, no way.
I find that hilarious because the Lakers got an SBA loan. The Lakers, the fucking Lakers.
Well, that's, you know, they could probably.
That is so, like, that's disgusting. I don't care who the fuck you are. That's disgusting. You guys are the, first off, the NBA is probably, I would say, behind the MLB as one of the most successful, probably the most successful sports franchise or sporting league in the world because of Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant, and all of these brands that are actually people. And for the fucking Lakers, the most successful of all of them, to go and apply, maybe the Celtics are more, but they have the Staples Center. They have everything that goes along with it. Jerry West is the logo of the NBA. They have it all. And to apply for fucking SBA.
They got millions. They got millions. Yeah, it's horrible. It's disgusting.
If I was LeBron James after all this, you know, after everything he does for the community, I honestly was surprised that he didn't make a statement like, yeah, that's our bad. Like, who the fuck are you to do that? They have more money than God, and they applied for an SBA loan. Yeah, no shit, you have to give it back. What'd you think was going to happen? Like, why don't the Knicks just apply for, like, for a loan? They own MSG. That's what the equivalence is. It was just...
Yeah. I mean, it's the NBA and the NFL, and you could make a good argument for the NBA being more valuable. I mean...
I think it is only because of the brands like the Jordan brand, LeBron brand, Kobe, even Shaquille O'Neal had his brand, Tracy McGrady, Allen Iverson. Yeah, I think he had it on his own shoes.
So, all right. So 30 teams make, they have an average valuation of, so the entire NBA in terms of teams is like $60 billion, right?
I don't think the NFL is more valuable because if that was the case, their money would be guaranteed to their players. I think the MLB is the most successful or the most profitable sports franchise, sporting league.
Yeah, I would think so, actually.
Or yeah, MLB, soccer, MLB. Because soccer's on a national scale. But if we're just talking American sports, I would say baseball.
In terms of like the pure contracts, yeah, MLB blows everyone out of the water. And then it's basketball, and then it's – and then it's NFL. NFL, but yeah, it's not guaranteed, which is a problem.
Hockey, too. I don't know, but...
Hockey is pretty lower, I'd say. But, dude, you know what's disgusting is, like, you know, I understand the UFC's trying to... And boxing, too. I mean, they have the same problem where if you're not, like, a Floyd Mayweather, Conor McGregor-type character, then you're not getting paid shit, dude. I mean, sure, if you're around the game long enough and you're the top 1% of athletes that are elite, in your weight class, then you're not pulling more than like, you know, $50,000 a fight, which I hate. Like, for instance, you know Nate Diaz, right? Guy who beat so
Nate Diaz.
Nate Diaz beat, so when Conor McGregor was on his like star.
For those that are watching this, I bought Sean tickets to go see Nate Diaz fight, and he's asking me who the fuck Nate Diaz is.
You just said, yeah, no, the fuck. Yeah, that's how little you know. So I'll give you some backstory, all right? So in 2016, McGregor was on like an unparalleled rise at the top, right? He just beat Jose Aldo,
yeah,
and he was going to fight this guy, Nate Diaz, who was, you know, Ultimate 5 season winner, you know, all this good stuff. But the main thing about Nate, which was so valuable, was his cardio, right? Besides anything else, his toughness, his boxing, jiu-jitsu, his cardio was the most important thing in his game. So McGregor comes out, and this is at 170, right? So they're both southpaw. They're like, you know, jabbing. McGregor's like throwing all these like crazy capoeira kicks. Like you would think he's like breakdancing, right? It's crazy. And he doesn't land any of them, which is wasted energy. So second round comes in. McGregor, you know, tagged Nate up on the feet a couple times with his hands. But Nate starts coming out, pumping the jab. And then finally, Conor shoots him for a takedown. Nate gets him in a guillotine. Conor gets out, but Nate just gets on top of him and chokes him out. And dude, the whole thing about Nate Diaz, which is crazy, is him and his brother, too, have unparalleled cardio. That is just – it's just unbelievable. But back to my original point, he fought Michael Johnson a fight before that, before the big money fight with Conor. He got paid $25,000, dude. $25,000.
Well, look, the UFC is a business, one of the better businesses of that. You know, they're taking the initiative – to to give people entertainment and give people content right now, which I think is genius. And I think that is going to create a very impressive ripple effect as far as profitability for the UFC in due time, probably in 2-3 years, or even sooner, honestly. I think they'll explode this year with the opportunity. But the reason why I think that is because, you know, the people that aren't getting paid as much as McGregor and Nate Diaz or Maldivas, it's just that they're just not selling to the public. So, like, for UFC to, first off, I think it is incredibly honorable and noble on Dana White's part to get the UFC to where it is today. Because think about it, you know, you have the, like we said, you have the NBA, MLB, NFL, NHL, soccer, and everyone else in the world, like me included, are pretty okay with just that. But then Dana White comes and says, no, I'm going to make something where you literally get to pay to watch people kick the living shit at each other, just like boxing, but something else. Not everybody can relate to boxing. Boxing is very prolific in many cultures. Not all of them, though, but you take the UFC, and I think what they're doing is they're trying to hone in on these people that are big shots. For instance, Conor McGregor is someone that does a lot of good things for people in Ireland. So, like, one thing that comes to mind is Lady Gaga with young teenagers who don't really have a voice. So Lady Gaga gives them that voice. So what does Conor McGregor do? Conor McGregor gives a voice to the country of Ireland that before never really had a, besides rugby, which isn't on a really international scale. So what Dana White's able to do is take the UFC Confederation and put it on an international scale by going to Dubai, going to Seoul, Korea, going all over the world and gaining recognition with these big name people. And what he's doing in return is, you know, making a voice for Russia, making a voice for USA, making a voice for Ireland, and making a voice for all these other countries that are so small in hindsight, like Manny Pacquiao. He did that for the Philippines in such a big scale, and no one even knows that.
He's the governor, dude. He's a representative of Congress. He's a man of power over there.
Dude, when my sister was going to Penn State, this was all before the Jerry Sandusky scandal, like, unleashed. You know, it was known around Pennsylvania that people knew Joe Paterno more than they knew the governor of Pennsylvania. And the same, it could be said about McGregor in Ireland, about Pacquiao in the Philippines. Like, it could be said about those people. Neymar in Brazil, or I don't know exactly where Neymar comes from.
Brazil, yeah.
Well, he plays on the Brazilian team. I don't think he's from there. But Argentina and Messi, for example. Yeah. I know that one. So that's why I like UFC more and more and more. It's not just because you're obsessed with it, even though that plays a big part. It's because of, you know, what they're actually doing. And I think it's really impressive.
I mean, that's a good point, too. And the only thing is it's an outlier basis, right? You have Nate Diaz, who he had some marketability before the whole McGregor fight, but – It's tough. It's tough to pay these fighters what they want. And I think that Dana White does such a good job. And the Fertitta brothers, too, they should get a lot of credit as well, because they actually, you know, him and Dana White, they were all a team. And then the Fertitta brothers just sold it to Zuffa, which is now the whole partnership of the UFC and like the whole entertainment company, right? Mm-hmm. And they just do such a good job. And they're doing it. So the UFC was just approved to fight in Nevada, and boxing as well was approved to fight in Nevada. So they're going to be pumping fights out left and right. There's a fight card, but today's Thursday, right? There's going to be a fight card on Saturday when we're finished golfing that. Oh my God, it's just disgusting. I mean, there's so many good people, but yeah, dude, it's fun. I mean, I was talking to this one guy, Phil Magnarese, and he was the first black belt in America from the Gracie family, which is insane if you think about that. And he was trained under Hickson or some other Gracie. And he founded Matrix Studios in Philadelphia. And this is not that long ago. It's like 19, I don't know when it was. It was like in the 90s, which isn't that far when you really think about it. Like, mixed martial arts as a sport is not that bad at all. I mean, it's really, it's not that, you know, it's not that old. It's very young compared to MLB and, you know, even soccer, I mean, soccer's, Jesus Christ, it's been It's probably the only sport there is, but yeah, dude, it's nuts. It really is a good time. But dude, I can't wait to play golf this Saturday. Have you looked at the course yet? Like the itinerary of it?
No, I mean, I never do. I just go in and wing it every time I play golf. That's why I usually shoot a 300 every time.
Hey.
That's what it is. I'll become a scratch golfer when I retire. Like, I'm cool.
Dude, that's what I'm saying, bro. I really can't wait to, like, play more. I love this. I love this game so much. I was so hyped. I shot, like, an 88 on, what, like 2 days ago. And I was, dude, I was so pumped for that. Parm's hitting the ball a lot better, too. He was, like, one of those guys who, like, he couldn't even hit it, you know, 2 feet in front of him. He would hit it. He would hit it, and it would go behind him. That's how bad he was. But I corrected his stance a little bit. I said, hey, here's what you got to do. And, you know, he's doing all right now, so. We'll see what happens.
A lot like my dad. My dad was a terrible golfer. Whenever he'd tee off, he'd hit a tree and come back towards the group.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I think what Dana White and the UFC are doing is pretty incredible. And I think it's beginning to, you know, become like the lead of something else that's new. It's going to be that thing that's groundbreaking. Like, someone did it, and now someone else is going to come and build another thing like that. Like, just like Elon Musk. Like, Elon Musk is doing some phenomenal things with SpaceX, with Tesla, with a lot of his other companies. I don't really follow him all that much, but I can admire him enough. Like, he is such a free thinker and so innovative that it's only a matter of time until someone else has the brass balls to do it like him. Like, you remember when you were a freshman in college, you said you wanted to own a company like Tesla, like a car company?
That was my goal. That was my dream, yeah.
Yeah, so, like, if it's just, like, someone like you that actually follows through with and has the balls to do it, they're going to make something just as big as Elon. And it's going to keep going and going and going. Like, I would say that Elon Musk, and this is a very bold statement, but I say Elon Musk is just as equivalent to, you know, the Thomas Edisons, or like, they're like the Thomas Edisons of our generation.
Yeah, he's the modern day Tony Stark. I mean, Tony Stark literally was based off of Elon Musk. That's been proven. That's factually correct.
And oh, really?
Yeah. So Tony Stark. It was correct. Yeah, Tony Stark is literally like the, you know, protege of Elon Musk. It was Nazi. But yeah, dude, the whole thing with Elon is he has such a unique way of thinking that he doesn't care. He always, like, he smokes weed on Joe Rogan's podcast. He'll, you know, tweet about anything he wants, regardless if, like, the Tesla stock goes down, because he knows the value that he provides. So that counteracts him saying whatever he wants. You know, like, a lot of people worry about, like, oh, we need to save face and we can't say this, we can't say that. But he doesn't give a fuck. He just says whatever he wants, and he knows it's for the betterment of the whole company, because people should just shut up and listen to him. I think, dude, it's going to be really hard to beat Bezos, because it's Bezos. I mean, Amazon is such a large, I don't want to call it a monopoly, but it's very, very hard to compete.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. It's a monopoly.
Well, it's not. I mean, here's the thing. They bought, I forgot that. No, they bought Regal or AMC, either of the two. It was either Regal or AMC.
Regal.
Yeah, Regal. So, listen, dude, I mean, a monopoly, you need to, like, control a lot of the different things. That's what made the Standard Oil Company with Rockefeller so wealthy, is he owned anything. Anything that you would pay would go directly into Rockefeller's pocket
for the most part. Dude, what do you think he's doing? He owns grocery stores. He owns – so what Amazon is doing so in my industry, there's a website called Debanked. It's a magazine that tells us about the industry trends. So what Google, Apple, and Amazon are looking to do is they're working with banks. For instance, JP Morgan as an example. And they're working with the banks to become more like a bank. So Amazon's slogan is anywhere from A to Z. That's why there's the arrow pointing to the Z from the A. It's anything from A to Z. So what Jeff Bezos is going to be doing is making it accessible in, I don't know when this is going to happen, but it will happen, where you can go to Amazon.com and buy a house and get a mortgage on your laptop and get approved and move into that house. You could buy a car. You'll be able to buy a car. You'll be able to do anything. It's anything from A to Z. So Jeff Bezos is making a monopoly, and everyone is obsessed with him and agreeing with it, but it's a monopoly. Well, it's a monopoly.
I mean, that's ridiculous. That's so powerful. Yeah. I mean, I was going to say Elon's going to be the most, like, he's going to be the highest net worth in the entire world, but Bezos is going to clear that. Everyone was saying, oh, Bezos is going to hit a trillion. Dude, he might. I mean,
he will.
I think he will too. I mean, Amazon's going to just keep going up. I mean, it's so, the point they're at right now, it's going to be very hard for anyone to even compete. Like eBay, irrelevant. Anything is, there's just no comparing.
What's crazy though is I feel that Amazon took eBay's idea and they just made it that much better. eBay was missing something, and then Jeff Bezos looked at it and was like, wait a minute, why didn't you do it this way? And they did it that way, and everyone's like, holy shit, what the fuck is that?
Yeah, the thing with Amazon that I think they did so well is they, and this is what we talked about earlier, is they made it easy to buy. If you look at eBay and you look at their whole interface, it's not, I mean, it's kind of difficult to kind of like navigate. And he spent a lot of money with like IU and UX and like user interface to make everything look fine and easy to navigate. That's the biggest thing. So if you go on Amazon right now, you know, you're going to have everything for them. Like, you ever go on Amazon and it's like, everything is like already in a neat order. You have, you know, the credit card you're going to use. If you have like any redeem cash on the credit card that you want to put towards this, you have the shipping address. It's perfect. You have everything all lined up.
Yeah.
I feel like they kind of streamlined that and made it so it's so easy to make a purchase. And then, I mean, yeah, they sold books at first, and then they figured a system that would work, and they perfected it. And no one did a better job than that than Bezos.
Yeah, they're a multi-billion-dollar company, but they can't send me my fucking boat that I ordered months ago. If you're watching this, Jeff Bezos, give me my fucking boat, dude. I'm trying to go fishing.
Yeah, I know, right? Prick. Wait, when did you order that?
I ordered it 2 weeks ago. It's an inflatable boat for $117, and it's taken so long to get here. I've had to order it twice already at this point. I'm pissed. It's not even worth the $115 to me anymore.
I have sunglasses coming in from that one Valerio shop, and it's so weird. I'm looking at the tracking number, and the tracking number doesn't exist. I'm like, did I just buy fake glasses? But no, they're going to come in like probably this week.
Yeah, thanks, Obama.
Yeah, thanks, Obama.
I love Obama, though. Like, no cap. I honestly, like, and my dad didn't like Obama. My dad, growing up, my dad was a huge racist. My dad voted for Trump. He didn't like Obama. My dad used to just be so racist, but like, me, my mom, and my sister, we like, we're obsessed with Michelle. We love Barack, and like, I don't know why. Because of that thanks Obama joke. But yeah. I love how, like, even today, like, he has, I wouldn't say he doesn't have a care in the world. He has tons of cares in the world. Now he has his children and other things that he can devote his full time to, but the man will still take the stand and without any hesitation roast our president. I think that's badass, dude. And he does it with class. That's the big thing. Like, Donald Trump has probably twice his net worth, but Donald Trump has 0% class in comparison to Barack Obama, in my opinion. And whoever wants to come at me and have a debate about it, go right for it. I'll give you my address. Don't give a fuck. But I think Obama operates with class, and that speaks so much highly of him, of a person, than not.
Yeah, I mean, he definitely has more. No, yeah, he definitely has more class in terms of, you know, comparing against Trump for sure. But yeah,
the whole family does. The whole family flexes on the class.
The thing with Trump is he'll want you to, you know, he's a master negotiator. We know that, so he's just going to be very determined to exacerbate his point so you get it. And if he needs to be, you know, go outside the lines and be kind of rude and hurtful, then he's going to do that, which I don't necessarily do. But I mean, hey, my net worth is not even at 1% of Donald Trump, so who am I to say, you know?
I mean, look, the way I see it with all these extremely successful people is like, they're puppet masters and we're their puppets. So like, Elon Musk will smoke a joint on the Joe Rogan podcast because he knows he's going to piss off his shareholders and he's going to make his stock more affordable. Then it's just going to double and triple because other people that couldn't buy it before now have the opportunity to buy it. And I feel like with Donald Trump too, like, one thing, I think, didn't he say that when he got elected, he didn't think he would actually get elected?
Trump? Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, right.
Kind of so, like, oh, like, shit, I'm actually in this position now. What do I do?
He's like, oh, fuck, now what do I do, right? And I'm like, oh, I know. Since I have more money than God, I'm just going to make a joke of this and see, like, see how people react. So, like, he does one thing, you know, people react another way. And he's like, all right, let me try it this way. And then they react another way. So, like, and even Jeff Bezos, like, they're the kind of, like, the people with these major corporations and the people with the money tell us what we want. Because it's what they want, and they're the trend. They're the brand. They're the popularity of it. That's what my sister's job is all about. My sister's job tells people what they want. Marketing industry has been doing that forever. My yeah. sister's company is the most successful marketing agency in the world because of the Super Bowl where the power went out. You remember against the against
Ravens and 49ers, yeah.
Yeah, the against the Harbor brothers.
Yeah.
The power went out, and my sister's agency, she wasn't working there at the time, but they made an Oreo commercial that said, even you could still dunk in the dark, and it went viral. That's what put them on the map, but it was something so simple.
Yeah.
It told people that to go out and buy Oreos. They've been doing that forever.
Yeah, it's a great ad, dude. I remember that. It was a hell of a Super Bowl, too.
Yeah. And then Jim Harbaugh has been getting reamed by Michigan Board of Trustees ever since.
I think he's overrated as a coach, man.
I think he's overpaid too.
Yeah.
Like, what about how you have Jabril Peppers, one of probably the most dynamic and versatile college athletes? Probably. I don't know if I'd say of all time, but of our greater generation, and you fucking shat the bed. Like, he was your fucking wide receiver, your safety, your cornerback. He probably could have been your tight end too.
Could have been everything. He's like the Saints. Who's the number seven on the Saints? Who he's quarterback and he's also like wide receiver, tight end.
Oh yeah. I don't know his name, but that's the same exact person. Dude, the Saints never get a break. They're worse than the Mets.
Saints always, dude. They always get screwed over with calls. It's horrible. Like I remember when they played. I forget that one.
The Rams.
Yeah. And the Rams got that call.
The play against Marcus Peters.
Yeah. Oh my God, that made me. I was listening. I wanted the Saints to win because they beat the Eagles. So I was like, okay, like I want this team to win then. If they're going to beat the Eagles, then they're going to win the whole fucking Super Bowl. I don't care.
And I'm pretty sure that was the post game press conference where Marcus Peters goes, I think we ain't done yet. And then the white reporter's like, well, so what do you have to say? And he goes, I think we ain't done yet.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, that was a great moment.
You fucking blew. He got away with murder on that call.
And then they go over to the Patriots, which, listen, I watched that Super Bowl to put me to sleep at night. You know what I mean? It's so boring.
Is it weird of me to say that I'm kind of a Tom Brady fan now that he's not on the Patriots? Like, did you see that chip in from the fairway in the golf tournament?
Yeah.
Shitting on Charles Barkley, like, yeah, taste some of that, Charles Barkley. And then ripped his pants, but he joked about it. Like, the guy's cool.
Yeah, no, Brady's a nice guy. He's really he's solid. I like Manning, too. I mean, Manning's so funny. He has his own, you know, ESPN show. His personality is great. Him and McAfee need to do, like, a podcast together. That would be hilarious. Just two rednecks shooting the shit about their time in Indianapolis, just playing golf and, I don't know, drinking sweet tea. I don't know, but, like
– I wonder – you know, now that Eli's retired, I wonder how he's going to be able to survive in the shadows of his brother. Like, because he's always been in the shadows of his brother.
He's never going to – he obviously wasn't the player. Here's the thing. If you don't have the skill, you need to have the personality, right? But mm-hmm. Peyton has both. He has the personality and he has the skill. So, like, what is Eli going to do that is going to get him above – like, not above Peyton Manning, but, like, at least get some clout? I don't know.
Eli is like a muted version of Peyton Manning's personality. And what that's going to do for him, Peyton Manning's going to get the Colgate commercials, and then Eli's going to get the Aquafresh commercials. You know what I mean? So Eli's going to get the store brand marketing, and then Peyton Manning's going to get the Kellogg shit because of his personality. That's just what's going to happen.
Yeah, absolutely. But
they're never going to make a show called Eli's Way. They're going to be like, it's probably going to be like what not to do. When you're Eli Manning.
Yeah, dude, there's a Marvel movie with, like, Wolverine where, I forget, like, there was, like, the guy with swords. You probably don't follow it. I don't follow it at all. But, like, they shut his mouth. They shut his mouth at the end because, like, he talked way too goddamn much. Not that Eli did that, but that's kind of how Eli is. He's just, you know, he's a muted version of Peyton Manning, period, the end. But
yeah. My dad had a friend like that growing up. He called him Richie Talks a Lot.
And he's sleeping with the fish.
Guy's still talking. 80 years old, still talking.
Oh, really? He's still going? He's still ticking?
Apparently. Yeah.
Dude, that's so funny. I was talking to my pop the other day, mm-hmm. and he shaved his, like, entire head, right?
Your dad?
Yeah.
Okay.
I wish he could send us some pictures, but I was like, why'd you do that? He's like, well, I kind of wanted to just, like, have a fresh start and be clean. And I'm like, all right, whatever. His hair was, like, down to his shoulders. So I was like, okay, Jesus Christ, like, you know, Ricky Nelson, leave it alone. Just, like, shave it. But it was so funny, man. He's coming into his own. He was hearing the Peyton Manning, Phil Mickelson, Tiger Woods, Brady golf tournament. And he was like, oh, I heard Brady had a good outing. I'm like, yeah. And he's like, he's such a douchebag, though. I hate Brady. Like, he hates Brady, regardless of what team he is. The guy's all right.
Well, yeah, I mean, he didn't see when the Eagles won the Super Bowl, but he saw when Donovan McNabb and the fucking Dream Team got minked by the Pats.
Listen, that Super Bowl, once we won, I've never been more drunk in my entire life.
Yeah, yeah. I remember I was blackout drunk, and I started making fun of some fat chick because she kept farting in the bar.
Dude, I remember I literally bought – we were at Castle Rocks, the place in Manayunk, and it was me, you, Eld, Parm, and – I was just in – I was so ossified. I couldn't even – so here's what I did. I would order a pitcher. I would order there was a guy beside me, right, who would order a pitcher. And I'm like, hey, you know, I'm going to be over here playing ping pong. Just can you order another pitcher with your thing? And every time, like – because he had a party of like 20. We had a party of like 20 as well. So we were drinking a lot. So we needed a lot of pitchers. So I was like, yo, just get two, and I'll pay you back for one. Like, I'll vent me, okay? He orders like 10 pitchers throughout the night, right? I just take them all, right? I just take every single one of them.
Who is this?
I don't know. He was some guy at the bar. I didn't know. But I took all of his pitchers. I felt horrible about this. I was just so gone. I took pitchers, and I was just in the back, double fisted, and I was just like drinking them. I was like a fish out of water, and I just needed to get that little taste of water so I could breathe. It was crazy, man. I was so gone at that point. It was like, that was such a fun night, just like walking the streets of Philly.
Yeah, that was a great night.
Yeah.
I wish you would have saw that burning car. I know Riz did.
Oh, yeah, that was a good one, wasn't there? That was crazy. Yeah. That whole night was just – I have Snapchat memories on my phone that I'm going to post to Facebook when I'm an old man, and it's going to be a good time.
But, yeah, I mean, like, the more I think about them all, like, the memories from college, like, look, our memory board is definitely way different. I only had a year of exposure with it. You had – the full 4 years, much like my other colleagues, but I'm appreciative of the years that I missed for a lot of reasons, right? Because I don't have any college debt. I have like the only debt that I have is probably $3,000 that I owe to my mom for my car, which is really nothing. But the rest, I have money in the bank. You know, I got a great job. And I feel like that's what people go to college for, is to make money, get a great job, which I already established. And then the other thing on top of that is like, excuse me, like the last couple of years, quarantine really has just like made me grow the fuck up even more than I once thought. And I never drink anymore. I don't smoke any nicotine anymore. I only smoke weed, but I smoke like a fucking chimney with weed. But that's like, my thing is like, I'll do something so much that I'll just get over it. I'm just going to get over weed at some point.
Yeah.
So like, what I'm saying is like, all those memories from college are going to be with me forever. And I still talk about them, but like, I'm starting to realize that I'm talking about them with less and less passion as the years go on.
I know what you mean. Listen, we got to end this. My dad's actually calling me right now. So dude, it was a pleasure. I love you. We'll golf on Saturday too, and thanks for the good conversation, bro. I appreciate it.
Later.
All right. Peace, y'all.